Welcome to the Home Team Podcast. Steve Carter here, and I'm here with my good friends, Sam Acho, Trey Burton. You all know that the Home Team is all about the intersection between sports and faith and culture, and man, we got a lot. We have a lot to talk about today. I mean, we've got the NBA playoffs. I feel like let's just start there, because the NBA playoffs is something that we can jump off to talk about. The 76ers, who have just absolutely crumbled just before our very own eyes. So I want to talk to Mr. Philly about that specifically. How's he feeling about that? But then also the injuries, just the injuries. So let's start, Trey Burton. I know you love basketball. You've got to have been watching these 76ers. How are you feeling about what Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks is doing to them?
You know, I haven't watched much of Atlanta. They haven't really been on primetime in the last, you know, 3 years or so, or however long Trae Young has been there. But man, he's fun to watch, dude. He rallies his dudes. He can obviously shoot the lights out of the gym, and really competitive. But he's special. But dude, Joel Embiid is as special as it gets. I don't know if I've seen a big man. I mean, obviously Shaq. I mean, maybe Shaq might be the most recent big man to be as dominant as he is, but dude, he can shoot a three. He can, you know, take it to the hole. He got all the post up moves possible, and he plays defense. Like, he's blocking dunks. He's blocking, you know, any type of layup. Trae Young tries to come into the end of the paint. Just he's unbelievable force, and one of the best players in the NBA. Obviously, health concerns for him, and the healthier he's able to get, the better that they'll be. But bro, what a collapse last night. I mean, I think it was the third largest lead ever blown in the playoffs. And I think the Sixers, I read something the other day where they're the only team to blow 18-point lead in back-to-back playoff games in the last 25 seasons. They had a 95 and a 99% chance of winning each one of those games. So obviously they got to get something figured out, dude. Like, it was one of the only basketball games I've watched so far this year, and obviously really entertaining. I have family from both states, so that's why we were, you know, group chat back and forth. I'm in the middle, you know, because I don't really cheer for either one of those teams. So, you know, me just instigating stuff both ways, just doing what I do best, you know. And but epic collapse for sure from Philadelphia.
I'm curious, Acho, when you've been on a team that's been up, you know, three touchdowns, and then you see it start to slip away. Is it mental for the players? I mean, let's just talk Doc Rivers. I'm a Clippers guy. We have gone through, as Clippers, absolute collapses. We were up 3-1 against the Rockets. We lost. Like, is this mental? What is the cause of these kinds of collapse that happen? And it seems to happen more frequently with certain teams. Why?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have been a part of teams. I think anyone who's played sports has been a part of teams where you can feel the wheels falling off of the bus.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And nobody really wants to say it, but you can feel it. And I remember a high school basketball game we were playing. We were up by, I don't know, 15, 18, 20, something. And just they hit a three. And then we turned it over, threw it out of bounds. They hit another one. And like little thing, you could feel it in the NFL. I remember we were up. There was a game. You know, there have been many games, not even just one, where like you got the lead going into the fourth quarter. Maybe the other team just scores a touchdown. You're still up by 12. And it's like, uh-oh. Like, there's this feeling, and sometimes you're like, we got it. But you can almost feel like the energy sucked from the stadium. And you might try to rile the guys up. Come on, we can do this. But you can almost see it in their eyes. Like, man, something is starting to shift. And so I would say, I don't really think it's a mental thing all the way, because mentally you're like, no, we got this. But then somewhere in your, maybe it is in your mind, maybe it is mental. You just feel like, man, somebody's got to make a play if we even want to have a chance to go and win this game.
I think there's an opposite side of that as well. Like, I remember specifically, I can't tell you how many times I've played Aaron Rodgers And you like, and same with like Brady, like you just know there is going to be a time where no matter how much they're down by, you know, I remember in the Super Bowl, like we never felt comfortable with no matter how big of a lead we had. You know, I remember we played in Green Bay when Aaron had Jordy Nelson, and last year we played Green Bay came to Indy, you know, in a Sunday night football game. And bro, like just, you knew they're going to make that play or that throw eventually. And you had to be on your toes. You can never, you know, take your foot off the gas for either one of those guys.
Yeah. And even me being on the other side as well of it, in University of Texas college football, we had won 5 or 6 in a row. We were playing Texas Tech. They were up on us by 24 points. But we knew going into like right before the end of the third quarter, but we knew we were going to win the game. And right before the end of the third, we got it. We scored a touchdown. So now the lead was down to maybe 17. And it was like, oh, we got this. We're back. At the first half, we kind of struggled. Third quarter, and it's like, we're back. And you could tell that they could tell we were going to beat them. And we came back and won by field goal. So it was one of those things where no matter what side you're on, you can kind of feel it. I don't know if it's – it might be a mental thing as you prepare. You're like, man, Aaron Rodgers, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's one throw away from getting hot.
This is going to be – bad memories for you two, but I do remember Aaron signs that massive deal, primarily a signing bonus of $80 some million. Khalil Mack is now with the Bears, and I go, it's opening night. It's a beautiful day up in Lambeau, and you know, Aaron gets knocked out,
and we were hype.
Everyone was hype. All like 27 Bears fans and myself included at Lambeau, and like Deshaun Schizer from Notre Dame comes in, and all of a sudden like Mack gets a strip sack touchdown. I mean, it was like insane, and I will never forget this. It's halftime, and like all of the Packer fans are feeling like, oh my goodness, Aaron's out for the year. We just given all our money away. This is the worst thing ever. All the players are warming up during halftime. And then the largest Packers fan I've ever seen stands up, and he points, and we see this hobbled man walking across the field, and they go, it's Aaron. And literally it was like a wave of Packer fans. And I just felt it right there. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. And it was, this is going to feel like a stretch, but I promise you, like in the room, it felt like the second coming of the Messiah, because like all of the hope of what
big stretch,
it's a big stretch. But like for Packer fans, like at Lambeau, it was like, we're going to win. And then, I mean, all of the trash talk that I had been talking to that section, it all came back on me. And so like, I just, as you were saying that, Trey, like when Aaron is still in the game, you're like, oh my goodness, this just, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Hey, I'm curious though, for you guys, you know, and Sam, I'll start with you, because the NBA has just brought a little storyline that just is emerging right now around injuries. I mentioned I'm a Clippers fan, and Kawhi Leonard looks like he is out for the playoffs, and many, many stars have been kind of ruled out due to injury. And there's a little bit of drama going on about this. Talk about like your kind of understanding of LeBron James, maybe set the stage with that about his kind of Instagram post, but why this is such a story for the NBA players.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's more than just a story for the NBA players, just setting the scene before the season started after the NBA bubble. Remember the season got delayed. The bubble was played. The bubble was in place later than usual. The season ended later than usual, but the ownership and really the NBA, whether it's, you know, the commissioner, wanted the next season to start on time. Why would you want that? Well, revenues. You lost a ton of revenues, lost a ton of money when games weren't played, so you want to try and find a way to get it back, which makes sense. But LeBron and many other players were saying, we need time to recover physically. Think about it. These guys have routines. You have your season, you have your off season, you have your season, you have your off season, and you train and you train and you rest, you recover. Your body is on this clock. in order for you to play at a maximum capacity at the highest level, your body's on a clock. And so when this talk came about starting the season even earlier than usual, or really, if you want to say on time, and we have so much less rest, there's a chance for injuries. That's what he said before the season started. And the season starts, all of a sudden, all these superstars are getting injured. LeBron tweeted out something last night. He said, there's been 8 or 9 all-stars who have been out more than in this playoffs right now, more than ever in history. He said, this is a problem. But then the NBA responded and said, well, the statistics are virtually the same. They are comparable to what they were in 2020. It's not that big of a difference or big of a deal. My issue is in the fact that LeBron was right, number one, but nobody listened or nobody cared. Or as our homie, our former co-host used to always say, follow the money. Follow the money. LeBron, yes, you might have your schedule, you might have your routine, but there's money that needs to be made. So, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you have to count the cost. And the cost of starting this season on time, the cost of getting back some of those revenues, it's been players' bodies, players' injuries, some players' seasons, and maybe some careers. I look at even the NFL. We were trying to figure out, how do we get back to a season with no fans in the stands? Do we play? Do we not? COVID, what's going on? And we said, okay, there aren't going to be fans. There's going to be a shortfall in revenue. How do we equate for that? And the compromise that we came to was, all right, some players, all players are going to lose their benefits for a year or two or three. If things recover, you'll get them back. But that was the sacrifice. You have to count the cost. So a lot of players don't have a lot of their benefits when it comes to, you know, the health benefits and all those kind of things. Now you have some of them, but not all of them. And so anyways, it's always this give and take, this pushback, but I'm as an athlete, I have the opinion of, you have to listen to the athletes. You have to have them listen to their bodies. And it may not be that way in every single case, but I mean, Kawhi went down. Chris Paul's been injured. Steph Curry has been injured. LeBron injured. Jamal Murray injured. That's just 4 or 5. There's many more. And so I think it's sooner or later, you got to listen to the players when it comes to their bodies and health and safety. Now, if you're demanding a new contract, we might have to have a different conversation, but you got to listen to the players when it's their bodies that are on the line.
I think the craziest thing, the stat that sticks out to me, is 72 games in 149 days. Like, that just blows my mind how many games they have had to play in such short amount of time.
Yeah, it's wild because this goes back to AAU basketball.
Yeah.
The amount of miles that are now put on, you know, these 24-year-olds' knees, because, you know, back in the, you know, when we were kids, or at least when I was a kid, like, I was playing 3 sports. You know, now it's like you are committed to a sport and you are playing, and there's so many miles you're putting on your knees. And then when you don't have proper recovery time, and this is why LeBron was, you know, during the whole All-Star game, was like, hey, I don't want to do this. We need this rest. Like, you can't keep forcing this. This is not going to end well. And so LeBron was like, at that Instagram post, like, I told you all, you all did not listen. And what's tough for me is, you know, one of the biggest payouts that is happening, you know, over the next few years is going to be from insurance companies where massive events like concerts. So if, like, Chance the Rapper is going to do a concert, but then he ends up not fulfilling the dates, there's an insurance policy so that, like, the revenue still, everyone still gets paid. Mm-hmm. The NBA, the NFL, all these owners had event insurance. So they're getting paid out. I'm not saying they're getting paid out a full 100%, but they're still getting paid. They're still getting money. Like, what's so tough, though, is now in the NBA, especially being driven by the stars of the game, That feels different a little bit than the NFL, in my opinion, because of the amount of people on the floor. But like, you just put your stars at jeopardy. And I think you could have done 60 games this year, got it back to like the regular offseason, and still had an amazing NBA playoff. But man, I feel like we pushed and pushed to get back to normal, and LeBron was calling that out.
Adam Silver is usually great with that too. It seems True. Like he's been a phenomenal commissioner for the players, you know, so that's interesting to see why. I'm sure at the end of the year they'll come out and talk about, you know, what happened and what's going on, but
in a lot of ways, it was part of it was great. Think about the play-in tournament. Like, yeah. I didn't watch a ton of NBA this year, but when that play-in came, my eyes were glued to the screen. That was like the highest ratings. I don't know the stats, but those were some of the highest ratings they had all season with that play-in tournament. But what does a play-in tournament mean? Better ratings, maybe more money, more revenues, but more miles, more injuries. So what is it worth? Like, for me, that like, I just wonder what it's worth. I remember a couple years ago, and the NBA is brilliant in this, where they started allowing fans to have seats that were closer to the, pretty much on the bench. Like, you pretty much get a chance to sit next to the coach. You're right next to LeBron, and people would pay top dollar for those seats.
You talking about Steve's season tickets?
Say it again. Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about Steve's season tickets? Yeah. 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 We've all seen him on his Instagram and stuff.
People would pay like top dollar for Steve Carter would pay top dollar. But like, he would
gifted. This is not true, friends. This is not true.
They were gifted. But there's a cost. You start seeing fans rubbing shoulders, bumping out. And now recently we've seen fans getting on the court, all these things. There's a cost to everything. There's a cost. And so I think about even social media influencers, people who are doing their thing on social media, or even with podcasts, right? Killing it in the podcast world. Oh man, you're doing great and your life is amazing and all these things, but there's a cost. There's a cost. That stuff takes time. It's taxing. And some people see it as a job, some people don't, but all that stuff takes time. There's a cost even with writing a book, right? Putting yourself out there, right? Yes, there's a cost in like writing it, but then asking people to share it, then putting yourself out there for the world to see. This stuff has a cost. Shameless plug. My book is $2.99 on Amazon, Kindle, deal of the month. So shameless plug. Y'all go get it. Let the world see you. But anyways, there's a cost to like literally putting yourself out there when it comes to social media, when it comes to sport, when it comes to whatever you want to do. And so, yes, revenues might have been back up, but players' bodies are on the line.
How do you guys feel about injuries? I mean, from the NFL side, because even like the last season, first few weeks, there were seemed like more injuries than like normal, at least from the big stars. What, you know, from your vantage point, you know, and I guess every sport's different, I know, but what do you feel like is the percentage between didn't keep my body right, freak accident, you know, like what do you think? Is it 50-50? Is it like, it's typically in football, it's like 80-20, just freaky, like it's just a freaky accident. Or maybe there's other variables that I'm not thinking about, but like, how do you keep your body right? And what causes actual injuries in your opinion?
Well, I'm not even answering. I'm going to pass this one to Trey. Cause I mean, I saw Trey in 2018 and he's not the only player, a lot of players, but like every single day doing everything right. And an injury can still happen. Right. Cause some fans think, oh, if you just took care of your body, you rested, or you didn't do this, didn't do that. This man, I was there because I was injured. You know what I mean? And even before I was injured, I was there every single morning, one of the first guys in, doing his rehab, doing his stuff, in breaks every day, doing it. And then an injury still happened. Like, Trey, what, like, for you, like, how did that feel? At least, like, it's just hard because, and I don't want to answer it for you, but I'm just wondering, it's like, man, some people, like, I know they get injured all the time because they're just not even, they don't even sleep well. They eat junk, they do whatever. But sometimes it seems like you do everything right and it still doesn't go your way.
Yeah. I think when you look at NFL, I think based on where in the season you get hurt, there's multiple different factors or more prevalent factors that happen. So for example, last year, the COVID year, there wasn't, you know, people want to say there wasn't much off season. There wasn't this, wasn't that. I like to give the players the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of guys work really hard during the off season. I think a lot of guys, if you left them to their own devices, that they would figure out a way to be in the best shape possible. But there's a difference between, you know, working out on your own shape or even working out in a group shape and then actually playing football and like being in football shape. You know, they talk about like conditioning, you know, but then there's also being in football shape. So I would argue that the injuries earlier on in the season are because maybe that player didn't get into football. It hadn't had enough reps and practice with a group of people actually playing football instead of running on the treadmill or riding the bike or whatever, you know, that may doing sprints. Like there's a complete, I'm in it right now, you know, training. We've done a lot of stuff inside to help, you know, with my conditioning, my long range conditioning on a treadmill. But bro, once I go on the football field and put the cleats on, I'll run, you know, 15 yards and I'll be gassed, you know. And bro, I spent months and months and months training to get my, you know, body fat and to the long range conditioning better, like way better than it has been. But dude, that short range stuff and the quickness stuff, you know, gets to me a lot faster. So I think, you know, early on in the season, it's a lot more pointing towards players that might not have had enough football reps or might not be in football shape. But then I think, you know, as you get later on in the season, it's more about, you know, not getting enough rest or because people don't realize what happens in football is that the numbers are so small and you have to be able to field an offense and a defense, whether it's the first team offense and the scout team defense, or it's, I mean, I've been at times where I was the fourth tight end on the roster in Philadelphia and I'm doing scout team offense and I'm doing scout team defense. I'm playing defensive end rushing against Jason Peters and the Hall of Fame left tackle, you know, and having to give him good look reps so that he's ready to go but all those, and then having to play on Sunday as well on top of that. So you're doing all these reps during the week and then just the chances of injury have to skyrocket when you're absolutely killing yourself during the week, but you know, you got to make the team and you got to do what's best for the team. So I think there's just so many factors. And I think like Sam said, I do think certain people are more injury prone just because of their physical makeup, just the gifts that God has given them or the way that their body is made. You know, everybody has a weakness, but I think some people are more prone to injuries just because their bodies might not be ready to hit every single day. And some guys are, some guys can hit every single day and some guys can't. It's so specific to each person. I'm a big believer in that you can't just throw one general thing out there for everybody. I think it's a lot more specific if you actually look at the numbers, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I know even with me, like when I broke my leg in 2013, and I mean, there have been so many times. And when I say I tried to do everything right when it comes to taking care of my body, sleeping 8+ hours, hot tub, cold tub, rehab, prehab, everything. And people say I was a kind of a freak injury. I'll set the scene in a second. Well, maybe I can set it now. We were playing the New Orleans Saints and I was playing for the Arizona Cardinals and I just sacked Drew Brees and I was like feeling it. I was eating the offensive lineman's lunch. Like that's the best way to put it. And I was in the zone and someone else had gotten injured. And so I was kind of alternating where it reps. So someone else got injured. So I had a bigger role and I was doing well. And I played, trust me, I'd played, you know, I started the entire season. I started over 1,000 snaps the year before, started as a rookie, trained in the off season, was playing the first couple games. And for whatever reason, running this play and somebody gets hit, one of my teammates gets hit, he flies and he lands on my ankle and my ankle turns in the way that it wasn't supposed to turn. And I remember being on the ground and just banging the ground and screaming like, get off me. And it wasn't like I was in shock. It didn't really hurt that bad. I just felt pressure and I wanted whoever was on me to get off of me, right? My guy fell on me, then an offensive lineman fell on him, these 300-pound offense. So I just like, just get off of me, just move. And mind you, there have been some times where you go back, and Trey, you'll resonate with this. You go back, you watch the film, and let's say it's a play where you got hit or somebody ran into you or whatever. And it's like, that should have been a really bad injury. Mm-hmm. There have been times where, like, at practice, I'm engaged with somebody. So I'm like, somebody's blocking me, or I'm engaged with them. And a different player falls, and like your knee goes in a way. You don't even feel it, but you look at it and it's like, oh, I could have had I could have been ACL, MCL, PCL. All the CLs could have been gone. And you didn't even feel it during the practice or the game. You go back and watch the film and they're like, man, you're lucky to be healthy. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. And so for this to happen on this game, after doing everything right, it was just one of those things where it was like, I don't even know what am I supposed to do? And for me, and I talk about this in the book as well, right? In my book, but for me, my initial response was, oh, God is good. He's in charge. Everything's going to be okay. And, you know, I'll be fine. That's what I showed on the outside. But on the inside, I didn't even give myself the agency, if I'm even using that word right, Steve. I didn't even give myself the agency to be sad. And that wasn't healthy. It wasn't okay. I remember calling my fiance, who was in Nigeria at the time, in Ngozi. And she didn't know much about American football, didn't know much about, you know, the sports. She knew it was, their injuries happen and it was dangerous. So initially she was like, man, why? I don't get it, you know, but she started to, you know, fall in love with the game and would call me after games and all the things and just see how it went. And I remember calling her after the game and saying, hey, you're probably not going to see me for another couple weeks on the field. She said, what happened? Is everything okay? I said, oh, it's fine. It's good. Just, you know, minor little, maybe leg injury. I'm about to find out later, but we're going to find out. So I hang up and I'm thinking, okay, that was, you know, I did a good job. You know, I'm strong. And 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, she calls me back. And she calls me back and she's like, what's really going on? And I told her, I broke my leg. I think I'm out for this season. And I start to cry, to weep, to mourn. And like for me, I think those tears came not from the pain of the injury, but it came from this place of, God, I was just doing really, really good. This is supposed to be my year. I don't know what the heck is going on. And it was just this, like, not understanding what was going on. And so, like, for some people who maybe it's just fans or people who maybe don't understand, you see someone get injured and you're like, they should have taken care of their body and they were being selfish and they probably were going out. It's not always the case. Sometimes freak accidents happen, freak injuries happen. And then also I think about, man, I wonder how that player feels. We're all talking about Kawhi right now. I wonder how Kawhi Leonard actually feels right now. Not playing, not helping his team win. I wonder how Jamal Murray felt seeing Denver lose. I wonder how LeBron felt the last half of the season when he was pretty much injured. I think he missed 23 out of the last 25 games. Like, these players aren't just robots. They're human beings.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really, really great take, Sam, because I think honestly, like, these guys, you know, and both of you have experienced this. I mean, I've watched you guys, you know, talk about the rehab, the prehab, all the stuff that you both would do, and then you both have had to go through seasons where, oh man, like a freak accident or some kind of painful, you know, lingering kind of injury, and it's just kept you having to watch. I think that would be the most painful piece, is like, you did nothing wrong and you got to watch your team, whether in the playoffs, you got to watch your team in a big division rival game. Like, you just have to watch and you can't be out there. How have you guys, you know, been able to handle that when you've had to just watch and feel the kind of pain of, I can't, I can't be out there. I mean, the old NBA adage is, hey, you play hurt, you don't play injured. And, you know, we watched AD try and play injured and didn't go well. But when you're hurt, you can kind of push through. And again, I'm talking about the NBA. But like to be a player, to be an athlete and have to sit and watch, man, how do you guys do that?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely the toughest part. You obviously want to be out there. It was funny. I was talking to a guy the other day in the gym and he was hurt. And he's not necessarily an athlete, but he's like, man, it just sucks to sit here in this gym and watch you guys work out while I'm trying to rehab, you know, my injury. And so everybody to a degree can experience that. I would say, you know, for us, I know Sam did this when he was injured. You know, I've tried to do this when I've been injured, but all you can really do is pour into the guys that are currently playing. You know, you got to continue to stay focused. I think it's even worse if you're not a team player and you're gone and you're not there. It's a bad, not necessarily a good look, you know, for you. So do the most that you can, obviously from a rehab standpoint, but then like, and then I think what's really helped me is having good people in my corner and surrounding me that I can reach out to whenever I do have the bad day or the bad week, mentally and physically going through that stuff. But yeah, just trying to stay locked in, and it is hard to try to stay locked in, but you still, in my opinion, you still owe it to your teammates. You still owe it to the guys around you. And you want that team to succeed, you know, during that time. So that's kind of what my mindset was whenever I've been injured.
Yeah, I love that, Trey, because I mean, not everyone's on a sports team, but everyone understands what injury or loss or pain or frustration looks like. The dude who's working out at the gym you're working out at, man, I hate that I can't do what everyone else can do. I know for me, that same game, that Saints game, after breaking my leg, I didn't want anybody to help me off. So I kind of limped to the sideline and I sat down. I'd never had a major injury before, ever. Like I had a couple, like, you know, jammed my finger a couple times, sprained ankle here and there, rolled it once or twice, but nothing major. So I remember just feeling different, and it didn't protrude the skin. I know it bent the wrong way. So I kind of limped, adrenaline's pumping. So I'm feeling kind of, I'm not feeling it as much. And I sit down, I'm like, guys, it was the third quarter of the game. We were down by 8. We were getting momentum. Like we were trying to go and win. I remember saying to the trainer, Tom, I said, dude, just give me some Advil. So I'll be fine. Like, just, I don't care. He's like, Sam, it might be more severe than that. Just give me something. I'll be fine. He said, Sam, it might be broken. I said, just give me some medicine. I'll be good. I'm not like a, you know, some people talk about Toradol, these shots that numb all the pain. I'm not one of those kind of guys.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Your ankle would have been, my whole body, your leg would have been gone. But I was like, just give me something, man. And they said, Sam, your leg might be broken. Like, I didn't register what that even meant. Like, I've heard T.O. played on a broken kind of fibula after, you know, 6 weeks. So I'm like, he said, how about this? We're going to go ahead and get an x-ray. We'll see how it looks. If it looks good, we'll be able to bring you back. If not, we'll go from there. I'm like, x-ray, what do you mean? He said, Sam, there's x-ray machines under the stadium right here. So you'll be fine. And so I'm like, all right, whatever. Hurry up. And so they brought the cart, and I was like, I'm not about to be the guy who sits in the back of one of these carts. No, no, no. And I also knew I couldn't walk, so I sat in the front with the guy driving it. I'm like, hey, man, how's your day going? And so they brought the cart. They went to the back. I did the x-ray. X-ray technicians, a lot of people who have x-rays probably know this. Maybe you don't, because I always like to get information, but they're not supposed to tell you what it looks like. They're supposed to wait for the doctor to review the pictures. But I was like, hey, man, or it might have been a woman. I said, hey, excuse me, miss, like, how does it look? She said, you know, I can't tell you that. I said, I know, but how does it look? And she just said, kind of shook her head. She's like, it doesn't look too good. Nodded my head. I went back. And at that point, I was in my full pads, helmet, number 94 jersey, my red number 94 Cardinals jersey, my white pants, my white and red Cardinal socks, one shoe off, one shoe on, because I had to do the x-ray. I go back. I think I had some crutches at that point. They said, hey, Sam, you can either go back and sit with your guys, or you can go back to the locker room. And I said, I got to go be with my guys. And so I think actually my shoe might have still been on at that point. So I go back. I sit down. They're like, hey, stay away from the team and stay away from the field because you can't move if some action happens. So I kind of sit in there watching the game start slipping away. We start losing. And I said, I need to go to the locker room and shower because if we lose this thing, and it might take me an hour just to get my clothes off the way I feel. So I go, I shower, we lose. And I was devastated because I couldn't be there with my team. And so just to Trey's point of like that feeling of hopelessness from an injury, that's one piece. But there's also another piece of, even if it's not a physical injury, this piece of like, man, I want to do this, but I feel like I can't. I need help.
Man, you know, I feel that, you know, just in the, I was driving with my son cross country and this past week, and we're halfway. It was really beautiful driving from Phoenix to Moab, Utah. Really beautiful driving through to Colorado. And then you start driving through Nebraska and it's just all flat. And mm-hmm. you drive through Iowa, it's pretty much all flat. But while we were like in Nebraska, I got a phone call. My grandma, who's 94, had had a heart attack and, you know, is now in like a rehabilitation center. She's okay. But, you know, you just sit there and you're like, the unexpected happens. She's going through her day and it just happens. And like that's kind of like bizarre how life sometimes works. You're going through your day, you're doing what you've normally done, and then the unexpected happens. I mean, we saw this even with the Danish soccer team. Christian Eriksen used to play with Tottenham. He's an amazing, amazing player. And if you saw that, I mean, the guy is just like basically running to the, and he just collapses. And the reports were he was gone. And here's a guy that's in like peak physical shape. I mean, he can run that endurance, but man, something happened. And I keep thinking about this conversation about injuries, whether from LeBron speaking up, going, man, we're not the recovery issues or the freak accidents. I mean, sometimes though, have you ever experienced where a injury can actually be a sign or a blessing? I know it feels so weird to say, but like it actually can be kind of a, man, like we were able to discover something. You know, I think in Christian Eriksen, you know, you think about the Florida basketball player, or, you know, I think even when I was a kid and Hank Gathers collapsed, you know, at Loyola Marymount, you know, we began to recognize, man, there's stuff going on with the heart. I don't know. Have you guys ever had people in on your teams collapse, high school, college, NFL, or stories where maybe it wasn't a freak accident, but man, something happened that actually helped them get a deeper diagnosis that led them to health?
Yeah. I mean, on the lighter side, I remember in high school we were running sprints and one of the guys, we're like halfway through, coach, I can't see. We're like, what? And he goes, coach, I can't see. And he's like, coach is basically like layman terms, shut up, get on the line. And you know, high school back in the day, they don't give a damn about none of that. And he gets on the line and they blow the whistle. And we do the half gasser or the whatever we're running at the time. And we cross the line again to finish that rep. And he literally like poops himself, like dripping down his leg. And we're all like, oh, bro, this is an absolute disaster. So that didn't answer your question, but that was the lighter side of things. In real life, I remember I was playing for the Eagles. I played with a long snapper named John Dornbos. Don't remember how many years Dornbos played. I think it's like 12 to 13, 14 years in the NFL. Awesome story. He's a magician, second on America's Got Talent, has his own shows out there in Vegas. Just a really, really cool story and deep story. But his time in Philly came to an end. I don't remember if he got traded or he got released, and the Saints picked him up. So somehow he ended on the New Orleans Saints team. Before you actually join the team, you have to take a physical. They give him a physical and they find out that he has some type of like heart murmur, and he's very serious heart condition. And within the next couple hours, he is rushed into emergency open heart surgery. And I mean, you think of a guy, long snappers aren't generally in the best possible shape you could possibly be in, but bro, he was in shape, you know, he worked out, he trained. But just that fact, like, man, he's being released from Philadelphia or traded from Philadelphia changed his life. And it could have been absolutely horrendous if he would have still been in Philadelphia, but the fact that he left and was somewhere else and they gave him, a physical and they found that saved his life basically.
Yeah. I know even for me, and I played against Dornbos, and I remember when that happened, I know for me, and I know Trey, we've been talking, a lot of people like think, man, NFL is this dream and it's everything. And it's like, dude, sometimes it's like, dude, I feel like I'm ready to you know, go in a different direction. At least that's how I felt right around that 2018 season. It's like, man, there's other passions and desires and goals that I have, but I didn't know how to voice it or to address it because it was NFL. You're in the NFL. What do you mean? And then I got injured. I tore my pec. I was out for the season. And instead of me feeling devastated or distraught or confused, I felt relieved. I felt relieved. And you know, there's a lot that probably goes into that. We don't have to get into it now. But I felt relieved. And people ask me often, man, what was your favorite year in the NFL? You played 9 seasons. What was the most memorable? And I always say it was 2018, the year that Trey Burton was on the team. The year that after that injury, I'd go up and I'd do my rehab in the mornings. I see him doing his prehab. We talk, we do Bible study. Steve, you'd show up. We get in the word. Then I'd go back to rehab, get my body right. I would come early just for these Bible studies to encourage, to support, to help lead the guys. It was 2018. Wasn't playing, wasn't on the field, but I would support. I would go, we would do defense dinners, just this team camaraderie bonding thing. And I would show up to try and love on my teammates, to try and do what I felt like God called me to do. There was something bigger. There was a bigger picture, even though the thing that I thought was the most important thing was gone. This bigger picture kind of stepped up and stood up. And so for me, sometimes you think that this thing is the only thing and then it gets taken away. And you're like, God, why is my only thing taken away? And he's like, because I want you to know that I am the thing, that I'm the only thing. At least I'm the only thing that matters. Might be a lot of things you think are important, but trust me, those things fade away. I remain forever. And so 2018 season for me, after tearing my pec, my second major injury in all my years playing high school, college, middle school, second time ever having a major injury. And it was like, oh, there's bigger fish to fry than all that I see in front of me.
Well, and those are you only learn that if you go through what you went through. You know, I remember for me specifically, like I'm very disappointed and angry going through injuries at the time I did. Cause same with you. Like I had never had a serious injury like that before. And I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. And it helped like change my perspective on it. I'm just, you know, sitting there at nighttime in the room with my wife, just talking to her, you know, telling her how pissed I am, what I'm feeling. Cause I'm not very good at that. What I'm going through mentally. And she like stops me and she says, what if you're not here just to play football? Like, what if that's not all that God has in store for you? You know? And I feel like a lot of times we just get so caught up in what we're doing and thinking like, that's our worth and that's who we are. And that's all we have going for us. You know what I mean? And we don't look at the bigger picture and look at the bigger picture, but then the really, really small details and like the way that the Lord's moving and working and kind of pushing you. And I know at least for me, I get so caught up in where I'm at and what I'm doing right now. Like, I don't really think about future. I really don't think about past. Like, I'm just thinking about like, right now I'm on a podcast with you guys. Like, you know, what can I bring? And it kind of like out of sight, out of mind. That's just how I'm mentally. That's how I deal with and work on things and do things. But man, she just like hit me right between my eyes. Like, what if, and obviously it's true, you know, but you don't really think about it in the heat of the moment, in those times, especially when you're feeling sorry for yourself, you know, and you have all these emotions and craziness and stuff going on around you as well.
My dad would always say these 4 words to me, change adversity into opportunity. And he would preach that all the time, change adversity into opportunity. And it's fun to have a front row seat on how both of you guys have done that. It was an opportunity for more of God, opportunity for more of his work, more. And again, I think it's a hard thing because to do that, you also feel like you've been forced to let go of something. And sometimes the letting go is, you know, being on the field, or letting go is, you know, being with the city and the expectations of what could happen, you know, for a team if we were to win this game, blah, blah, blah. But I think it was an opportunity to go, I'm not going to avoid the pain. I'm not going to avoid how I feel, but I'm going to actually trust, hey, there could be something more at play here. And, you know, I do feel like long snappers, they'll get a bad, I mean, Pat Scales is one of the funniest people, I think. He's a funny guy. Reed Ferguson, long snapper for the Buffalo Bills. He's a good dude. And now we got Dornbos doing magic. I mean, I'll just tell you.
Dude, can I tell a quick story? Of course, you mentioned Dornbos doing magic. Trey, you might have been there 2017. I think you were with Philly. Maybe it was 2017. We were playing Philly. Do you remember that game, Trey, when we scored? I think it was Tariq Cohen got that punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Was that 2017? Maybe
against Philly?
Against Philly.
Bears against Philly. Nah, I was on special teams and no one scored no touchdown against us. So maybe it was the Bears.
Maybe you were injured that game. I don't know. But long story short, we scored a touchdown against y'all, and John Dornbos during the play. I'm on the punt return team, and my job was to block John Dornbos because we're trying to go score a touchdown. And so I'm running, and like all of a sudden I hear the crowd screaming. When you're blocking, you're focused on your guy. So you're focused on your guy. And thankfully, I had the least athletic guy on the field. And so I was focused on him doing my thing. I hear the crowd start to go crazy. I'm like, oh, we're about to score. All of a sudden, I'm blocking John Dornbos, and it was like time slowed down. Like he looked me in the eye and he's like, oh, look, it's a fumble. He fumbled. And I'm like, I look away for a second. There's no fumble. I look away for a second. Dornbos releases it, like gets off of my grip. He dives, nearly knocks Tariq Cohen out of bounds to stop him from a touchdown at the 30-yard line. I turn back around, try and grab Dornbos. By then it was too late. But by the grace of God, we still scored. I was like, John, that was a magic trick. You just performed a magic trick on me. And so after that, I try to hit that with some people. It never worked. Like, I don't have the magician traits in me. But man, that I'm so serious. Like, John Dornbos, like, if you're listening, shout out. Because I know I'm not the only one that's fallen for one of your magic tricks. We're going to have you on the show. You're going to come and do a trick for us. You're going to come in. No, but John Dornbos is the man. But I just want to say one more thing, just to Trey's point of what your wife said, like maybe you're here for more than just football, you know, and like there's some truth to that. Like sometimes you don't have to lose one thing. Sometimes you have to lose everything before you find that out. And I know I said it earlier, but like that's what Let the World See You is all about. You know what I mean? Like if I'm just being honest, like that's what my book is all about. Like it's, you thought that you had to have all these things when in all reality, you've always had everything you've ever needed, but you have to let it show. You know what I mean? And like, that's why I respect you, Trey, for even listening to your wife to that point of like, maybe it's more, maybe there's more, you know? And so, anyways, I got fooled on a magic trick.
Dude, I love that story. I love that. That I can see why he was such a legend in Philly. Hey, Sam, well done last week. How did it feel to do the whole podcast by yourself? Can Trey and I just continue being a part of this, or are we getting bounced off? I mean,
no, I think it's you and I are every other week, Steve.
Every other week. That's right. Yeah. That's
right. I'm the one who was in Maui fishing, and I don't know where you were, Trey.
Maui
is somewhere. Trey was in Maui. Stop. Fishing rod. Steve was traveling across the country. They were like, hey, I don't know, guys. It's been a long week. I'm kind of busy. I was like, guys, I got this. I'm going to hold down the fort. And so I did it. It was kind of weird. I thought it would be fun because I was like, oh, I love to talk. And after about 25 minutes, I was like, okay, I don't see anybody, but this is pretty cool.
my favorite part was like, hey, Sam, what do you think? Well, you know, I think that's a great point. Hey, when I was at Texas, I was amazing, you know. Hey, Acho, tell me about your time at St. Mark High School. Dude, St. Mark High School is amazing. This is my favorite time. It was just such a good experience. So your playback, it was just like Acho and Acho. It was amazing, man.
Y'all ain't got to come back next week. Bump it. I'm here. I got this. I'm going to do the intro. I'm going to do the outro. I'm going to ask all the questions and answer them. I'm going to bring some humor, some joy, some laughter, some facts, some stats. I'm going to talk about Michigan, Florida. Got it covered.
Hey, speaking of Michigan, it's been 3,490 days since Michigan last beat Ohio State.
And with that, we're signing off.
Much love, everybody. Go Gators.
Hook them.
I'm coming for you next week. I am coming for you. Next week we'll be back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And as you heard Trey Burton, the instigator, just dropping that last line, but it's okay, my team's not on probation, sorry Trey, but we'll
be back.
As
well be
We'll be back next week to continue to chop it up about sports, faith, culture, and family. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great week, and let's change adversity into opportunity.